This is the Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jewish faith. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. It can be pretty easy to find fault with Nicodemus in the story we have this morning. As lifelong or nearly lifelong Christians, it can be hard for us to see Nicodemus as anything other than a Pharisee, the bad guy, right? A member of the powers that be, the religious elite who has come under the cover of darkness, maybe was even sent to question Jesus, to interrogate him, to suss this rabble-rouser out. After all, we know that what Jesus is saying is right. We know that the Pharisees were wrong. We get what Jesus is saying, don't we? I mean, John 3:16, for goodness sakes. We'll get to that in a minute. We know, don't we? Nicodemus approaches Jesus at night full of questions. This could be understood in several ways. Is he being sneaky? Is he seeking to sneak up on Jesus? Or is he trying to sneak around so that the other Pharisees won't know what he is up to? In John's gospel, the metaphorical use of darkness is meant to imply a state of unbelief. So what are Nicodemus's motives? It's hard to say. But what is clear is that he is coming in a state of unbelief to ask Jesus about who he is and what he's doing. Jesus' response to Nicodemus' line of questioning can honestly seem a little confrontational, a little reactionary or defensive, which makes sense given his constantly and consistently difficult relationship with the religious elite of his time. That is, people just like Nicodemus. Again, though, in the context of John's gospel, Jesus is sometimes oblique, almost mystical, and occasionally purposefully misleading or confusing words are used with great intent. When Jesus describes the need for one to be born from above, as our translation puts it, he uses the word anothen. This word in the Greek of John's day had more than one meaning. Anothen could mean from above, anew, or again. So Nicodemus's literal interpretation of being born again is not simply a mistake. Jesus, it seems, uses this word deliberately to shine a light on the tendency of Nicodemus, and not just Nicodemus, to think literally and to misunderstand the nature of Jesus' message and presence in this world according to his own, Nicodemus' own sense of logic and knowledge base. This learned man, this teacher of Israel, depends a great deal on what he knows. Nicodemus, much like the rest of his peers, the Pharisees, prize their knowledge, their logic, their intellect, what they know. It sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Just as we will see in the conversations we read in the next weeks ahead between Jesus and others, particularly in John's gospel, Jesus seeks over and over again to subvert, to overwhelm, to confuse the narrative that has been assigned to him. Jesus over and over again pushes past what people think they know about who he is and how the world works, so that he might show them the truth about who God is and how the kingdom works by bringing them into the light. It can be easy to suspect Nicodemus' intentions here. It can be easy for us to think that we know what Jesus is up to. But it is important to remember that Jesus, this teacher from God, is pushing Nicodemus, pushing us to wonder a little further, to imagine a little bit wider, to seek to understand our God not by what we know or what we think we know, but by trusting what God knows and witnessing what God shows us through Jesus the Christ. Amen.
speaking to John, continued, "Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Jesus says that we testify to what we have seen. We speak of what we know. So let me do a little testifying, a little speaking of things that I have seen. I have seen Jesus bring peace to a man whose son was shot and in the hospital. And peace came over him as he prayed for protection to surround his son and the entire hospital, knowing that those that had shot him were also in that same building. I have seen Jesus bring hope and strength and perseverance to people in a community of people, but specifically to one person I'm thinking of, who has seen people in her community be shot and killed, often by those wearing badges. And when black men were killed, that she would always find the hope and the strength and the perseverance to keep showing up and to keep shouting out about the injustice of it. And she was able to do it because of her faith in Jesus and the strength that she found in that faith. I have seen Jesus create a community of validation and belonging for a young person, a young adult who was looking for a place to be, who was coming to understand themselves and their gender identity, who was transitioning, who was coming out as a trans person, and in a community of faith found what he could not find in the community at large, or even in his own family, which was a place where he could be seen for the fullness of who he is. I have seen Jesus inspire miraculous generosity in the crabbiest, hardest old woman that you could ever picture or imagine. But underneath that hard exterior, Jesus grew a heart of love and service. And she would provide food for funerals and potlucks and church meals. She would weekly head into the church to clean the pews and to make sure that things were ready for the service on Wednesday. I'm going to name that one. That was my grandmother, Barb. The crabbiest, hardest old woman you could ever imagine. But a heart of love. And I have seen Jesus put that in there. Our world is sick. Our world is broken. Our world is shrouded in the darkness of night and the inability to understand what's going on. And yes, just as Moses was lifted up, our world needs Jesus lifted up. But too often we know that when the name of Christ is lifted up, the things that come along with it are not the salvation that Jesus offers in his conversation with Nicodemus, but it's the threat of condemnation or the fear that I'm going to be judged The name of Christ is untrusted and ineffective, it seems. So that as I'm out in the community, I am careful to share that I'm a pastor sometimes because I don't know what effect that will have on the people I'm with. Because the name of Christ is joined with so many other things. Nationalism, judgment, hatred. But Jesus still saves us. Jesus saves us from what we know, or the way of being that we have seen before. Jesus saves us and propels us into a future that we may not know, but may only hope for. Jesus frees us from our need to understand fully what's going on. Just as Nicodemus comes to him with questions and leaves with more questions, we might come to Jesus with questions. We might come to Jesus not able to understand how this is all going to work, but coming to Jesus might lead us to a place like it led Nicodemus, where we can simply trust, believe, and begin to love. There's a movie that's out, nominated for a bunch of Academy Awards, Everything Everywhere All at Once. I'm not going to spoil the movie too much, but there is a character in that movie, Waymond, who looks at the chaos of the whole world and says, I'm not going to give in to despair. I'm going to choose in every moment to be kind and to love. And that's how I fight. Jesus frees us to fight like Waymond. Jesus liberates us from what our brains are capable of conceiving through rationality and our collective thought, and frees us to explore a future that's created by imagination. Jesus blesses us to be a blessing to those around us, to the world. And when we live into that faith, when we believe and trust in that Jesus, when our inward journey of relationship with Jesus matches our outward journey that looks like Jesus and acts like Jesus and sees like Jesus, it is as if in that moment we are born again and see possibility where there had only been problems, see welcome where there had only been ostracism, see sacredness where there had only been rejection, see opportunity for life where there has been death. And see the kingdom of God where the powers of this world had once reigned. Let us see the kingdom. Amen.
Let us all